Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. I'm telling you, what a wonderful song. Thank you so very much, team. So great to be with them this week for the first time in my history. I hope not the last time I get to minister along with the Southland team. And then to not only have Micah here, one of my grandsons, but Nathan's here tonight with his wife, Karis, and I'm so great. As a matter of fact, I think there's six or seven preachers here tonight. We could have a Bible conference. We could just get it started. We can just go, I'll go for, till 8 o'clock is what I told you, right? So somebody else can go then to 9, somebody else to 10, somebody, we can just have a wonderful night together, a marathon of preaching. No, we're not going to do that, but I'm so thankful to and honored to have these other preachers here tonight. So thankful that I have two grandsons that God has worked in their heart to cause them to want to preach the Word of God. One of the things I didn't want for my sons or my grandsons, or I don't want for anyone, is that they'd be daddy called or papa called preachers. I don't want to be God called preachers. But I'm telling you what, I can't think of a more exciting way to live than to have the privilege of preaching God's Word. And I thank you for being back tonight. And I want you to know, none of us are perfect. I thought I'd get an amen out of that one. I know I'm not. And by the way, can I tell you something? There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect grandparent. Our children only turn out by the grace of God. Our grandchildren only turn out by the grace of God. And I don't know about you, but I've sometimes felt like I failed as a parent. I'm telling this story because Nathan's here tonight, and it's his dad that was sent to the office of the principal in his second grade, and I was the principal. Now, that's scary business because I've always told my sons if they got a spanking at school, they'd get one at home. Didn't know I'd be doing them both in some cases. But this time, when I brought him into my office, I said, Matt, what's wrong? And he said, Dad, I have an eraser stuck up my nose. Now, I don't have any of you ever experienced this with a son or a daughter or anybody. I mean, have you ever felt like you failed as a parent? Because I said, what? Well, he said, yeah, look at my right nostril. There's an eraser stuck up there. And of course, you know what the next question is. Son, how did you get an eraser stuck up your nose? Well, he said, I was playing with my pencil and the eraser came off. So I put it in my nose and let it hang out so it looked like something else. Cute, right? And then he said, I forgot it was there and I sniffed. Whoop. And it went right up his nose. And guess what? If you see the herpster nose, you'll notice it is a pretty powerful tool, and it can have do some damage. And so, sure enough, we had to take him. Well, we didn't. My wife had to take him to the emergency room to get the eraser out of his nose. I was the school principal, Christian school. I didn't want to have a bad testimony for our school in town. Not that I was embarrassed about it or anything. But we got the eraser out of his nose. And all was fine until not too many months later, all of a sudden, we were sitting in our living room, and I heard smack, ah, and I went running outside, and there was Matt holding his nose. A lot of stories about noses in the Herbster family, but I said, Matt, what happened? He said, Dad, I ran into the car. Have you ever felt like you failed as a parent? And you said, what in the world's going on? What do you mean you ran into? I've heard of cars running into boys, but not boys running into cars. And of course, if you knew my oldest son and his competitive nature, he says, I told my twin brothers that I could beat him in a race with my eyes closed. And he did it, smack, right into the car. And so could we go on and on with stories? Yes, we could. Thank the Lord for the illustrations our kids give us, especially as preachers. The problem is now my sons are using me as illustrations in their messages, so I have to be very careful because my grandsons might pick up on it too, and next thing I know, I'm being used as illustrations in my grandson's messages as well. But tonight, I want us to think about the importance of raising another generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we not need young people to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not need families that will purpose to raise another generation? All of us know that we have a responsibility, not just as homes and families, but as churches, to be able to raise up another generation that will love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm asking you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We were yesterday in Ephesians chapter 5. And we looked at that foundational truth of being filled with the Spirit, and I hope you're still filled with the Spirit. I hope you're still spiritually breathing. We looked at the importance of having the right kind of marriages, and I see your back setting together, so it seems like everything's gone okay today. We're still together. That's great. And tonight we want to talk about this building strong homes and building strong families. We need that in our communities. Remember, so goes the family, so goes the community, so goes the church, so goes the country. And that's why we shared last night, we see all these attacks on the family in our society. And we need to fight against that in our own lives, in our own families, in our own homes. And there's one verse here in Ephesians 6:4 that I think says it all. And one that I purpose to memorize, and I hope some of you as parents have memorized in the past as well. And as I see some young families here tonight, I trust that you'll grab hold of this verse and you'll purpose to know the verse, but then to live the verse. Because remember what we said about Joshua 1:8. It's not just enough to know the Word of God. We must do what? Do the Word of God. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because a man that's a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Can I say, will be blessed in his home and blessed in his family as well. So what's it say? Let's look at it, Ephesians 6:4, and then we'll divide it up. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, tonight, I want us to see three things. You have outlines, I hope, and if you didn't get an outline, you can just raise your hand and somebody will give you an outline so that you can make sure and take notes. And anybody else? I see one lady that doesn't have, but he's coming with it, so you're good. Anybody else that didn't get one when you came in? Well, there's three things, three main points you see here. It's if we're going to build strong families, we're going to have another generation and another generation serving the Lord Jesus Christ, it takes the right manager. It takes the right manager. It takes the right method. And it takes the right material. It takes the right manager. It takes the right method. And it takes the right material. Now, let's start out with that first point. Are you looking at the verse? Who is the manager? Yeah, thank you very much. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." But how many of you were here yesterday? How many of you were here last night? How many of you remember the two become what? So ladies, don't think you're out of the woods. All right? And men, aren't you thankful for a helper? Amen. That's a strong amen you need to give there right there. And especially when it comes to the raising of the children and working with the little ones. Praise the Lord for godly mothers, not just only bring them into the world, but they work with those children as we together try to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say it this way. Parents must accept responsibility. Parents must accept responsibility. It's the responsibility of mothers and fathers. Fathers are the managers ultimately. So men, can I tell you something? You probably have learned this. But with authority also comes responsibility. By the way, remember those spiritual discussions we have sometimes, we talked about last night, that hopefully you didn't have one today, but you know, as couples, and guess who is responsible to make up? The manager. How many of you have ever been a manager of some other people in the business world or in the, yeah, a lot of you. So you know what I'm talking about, because when I was a manager of seven salesmen in Chicago, Illinois, and when the boss came to town and there was a problem with one of the salesmen, who did he go talk to? The manager. So if you have a problem in your home, whose problem is it? Oh, we got quiet real soon there. Whose problem is it? It's the manager's problem, and it's the father, it's the husband. We have to take responsibility to make things work in our home. But praise the Lord for a helper. There's another amen opportunity there for you, men. Because we have responsibility. And if you were here yesterday and some of you weren't, now you have a good excuse. You have your own church, so I'm not going to blame you for that, all right? I'm glad that you were faithful in your own church, but especially you preachers, I'm glad you were faithful in your own church. But Remember Deuteronomy 4:9, not just Deuteronomy 6:7, not just Ephesians 6:4. What did Deuteronomy 4:9 say to us? You're to teach it to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Guess where my wife is tonight? In the nursery. Why is she in that? Because she takes her biblical responsibility seriously to be with those great-grandchildren, and it's a great opportunity for her to be with them. I know what's going on back there. She, by the way, she's heard this message before, and so I think she could probably preach it for me. Oh, no, so I'm not going to let her do that. But we have a responsibility as grandparents as well. It's a family matter, and we need to take the responsibility seriously. But there's a second thing. Parents should also accept assistance. Parents must accept assistance. Remember, we said yesterday that there's another institution besides the family that should be a help in the home. What institution was that? The church. The church needs to be involved. And we need to utilize all the opportunities in the church, all the personalities in the church. I got talking to somebody over cookies last night. And they said, what do you think about sports? Because if you know anything about me, I love sports. But sports can be a blessing or a curse. And in my life, it was a blessing to be able to have my sons under godly coaches. And sometimes they would come home, you know, and be talking to me about saying, Dad, coach said this and coach said that. And they were in a Christian school and had coaches that were teaching them from the Word of God. And I'd say, well, you know, I've been saying that for a while myself, but I'm glad, hey, I'm thankful a coach is saying it too. But sometimes you can get them in the wrong coaches, and it can be a problem. Remember, Proverbs 13, and verse chapter 13 and verse 20 says, he that walketh the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So be careful who you put your children under in the sports arena. Of course, now they're taking them out of church, and they're doing all kinds of stuff, and it's been an overemphasis that I think is a problem. But I'll tell you, I thank the Lord for youth workers, those people that work with teens, children's church, nursery workers. Praise the Lord for all those people. I always made sure our children went to camp. And you know, sometimes they'd come home, you know, these Christian camps like Southland Christian Camp that have these counselors that are, you know, just a little bit older than them, maybe college-age students that love the Lord. And my sons would come home and they'd say, you know, Dad, my counselor said this and my counselor said that, and boy, I'm going to do what my counselor said. And I thought, well, you know, I've been saying that for a little while myself, but okay, hallelujah. As long as they're saying the truth of the Word of God, we can use their assistance. Remember one time, we always would like to have a kind of a service and we'd have testimonies. I can remember Matt getting up and giving a testimony. I have to understand, I'm the pastor. I'm sitting over here and he said, yeah, he talked about all the good things about camp, and he said, and I got to hear my favorite preacher preach, Tom Farrell. Now, again, if you knew Matt, he's pretty quick wit. And all of a sudden, he could see the faces of people feeling bad for me because I'm sitting right there on the platform. And I'm a preacher, by the way. And all of a sudden, he said, my favorite evangelist. You see, I was a pastor, so everything was fine. And so he kind of covered his track. Hey, you know what? Who cares as parents where they get it? I just want them to get it. I want them to have that truth. And so you want to have your children with people that love the Lord, serve the Lord, preaching the Word of God, and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. You want them to have good examples. So you want to take the responsibility, you want to accept assistance. And then number three, parents must start early. The Heffrens over here have a quiver full, I see. And they have a 2-week-old, right? Now, they'll tell you this. You don't have to hear it from me. Go talk to them. You either train your children at the earliest age, or they will train you. Right? Do you remember? I had twins, so it was, you know, meh, 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 meh. You know, and you put your kids in bed, and you tuck them in, and everything's fine, you know, and yeah, you go to bed, meh, meh, and you run back in there, and oh, you make sure they're not tangled up in their crib toys, and they've been fed, they've been diapered, and we go back, meh, meh, meh. And about the third or fourth time, you have to grab your wife and say, stay here. And she says, oh, no, they're going to go hoarse if they keep crying. I said, hallelujah, then we won't have to listen to them anymore. But you know what? Eventually that child says, I got them. I'm going to control their schedule. Then, no. We're to train them. They're not to train us. That's why it's interesting here. It says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And so grandparents, be careful when you have the opportunity to work with those children when the parents leave them with you. Don't let them control you. You still control them consistent with what the parents want done in the lives of those children. But it's a family matter. Do you have all that? The managers are, the family is responsible no matter what the government says. Parental rights are the key. But there's a proper method too. We need to bring them up with the right methods. It takes the right methods to build our children. And notice what it says. First of all, there's a prohibition, and parents should obey the prohibition. It says, provoke not your children to wrath. You see that? That's the prohibition. Don't provoke them. Or in Colossians chapter 3, it says, don't discourage them. Don't provoke them. Don't discourage them. That's the prohibition. You mean we can do that to our children? Well, I see some teenagers here tonight. Maybe you can help me out. Give me some ways your parents have provoked you through the years. Some ways they've discouraged you. You're front rowers. You can probably tell me some things right now. Well, back rowers, can you tell me? No. Okay, I'll do it for you, all right? Check me out and see how I'm doing, all right? Nag your children. I told you once, I told you twice, I'm not going to tell you. Some of you may have some naggers at work. You know how irritating it is when somebody just nags you. You don't have to nag them. You just deal with the situation. And I know there's different levels of nagging. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or we men. We just grunt at them or what. No, we can talk to them. We don't have to raise our voice. We don't have to nag them. We don't have to yell at them. Just deal with them in the situation. Another one is be inconsistent. Don't expect out of yourself what you expect out of them. Boy, I'll tell you, I've watched this, and I've talked to a lot of young people in churches when all these things, all these standards, and all these responsibilities are expected upon the young people, but they're not expected of the Sunday school teachers. They're not expected of the deacons. And you don't think they notice? If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us. Right? Right? If it's pleasing to the Lord for them, it's pleasing to the Lord for us. I have a little saying. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. See if you can say it with me, okay? Just learn something this week, right? Here we go. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Brother Ron Hamilton, who's now with the Lord, took it and put it to song. Hypocriter, hypocriter, you say one thing and do the opposite. You walk talks and your talk talks, but you walk, go on. I'm not the singer that some of my other family members are, but just be inconsistent. That's irritating. Or here's one. Don't have any reasons for your rules. Because I said so, that's why. Listen, son, yours is not to reason why. Yours is but to do or die. You get it? I am your father. Can I tell you something, folks? We have a whole book of reasons. And you want to help your children grow up and have their own convictions, give them biblical reasons for why you do what you do. Know this about the Bible. It doesn't go out of date because it's a book of principles. Biblical principles. What are biblical principles? They're general truths from which we then make specific application. And that way we can take these truths and we can apply them at any time in any culture. My son Matt now is a missionary in Hong Kong, serving the Lord there. The same Bible applies there as it applies here, sometimes even though the applications may be a little different because it's a different culture. But it's amazing how much you'll hear your children taking the truth of the Word of God and sharing it with your grandchildren if you give them reasons for your rules. If you don't, then one day somebody say, well, that's not my reason. I never saw that in the Bible. What are you talking about? And the next thing you know, they're going to explain away everything. And they'll say, the Bible doesn't speak to that. The Bible speaks to everything in biblical principle. So make sure you heed the prohibitions and don't provoke them. Don't discourage them. But secondly, make sure you obey the admonitions. Parents should obey the admonitions. And there's two admonitions given in this passage of Scripture. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, that word nurture is translated in Hebrews 12, the chastening, or we could say the discipline. Whom the Lord loves, He nurtures. He chastens. He disciplines. And I'm telling you what, we're in a society right now that's just kind of letting young people do whatever they want to do. That's not the way it should be. We as parents, we as grandparents, we as Christians should help our children know what's right and what's wrong. And what we should do is we should stop the wrong and start the right. And we punish the wrong, we praise the right. We give pain to the wrong. We give pleasure to the right. And that's discipline. So we have to make sure that we discipline them. We take the responsibility seriously. Have you heard these people say, well, you should just ignore the behavior when it's wrong behavior because after all, that you're just giving them attention if you notice the wrong behavior. Well, can I tell you something? If you give them the right type of attention when they're doing the wrong behavior, you will cause them not to want to do the wrong behavior again. And spanking is still in the Bible for little ones. And when they get older, spanking is a different variety. Loss of privileges. You know, I didn't spank my teenage sons. Well, I gave maybe junior high, I gave one last one just to prove that I could do it. But, you know, it wasn't like, I just want to make sure these guys are going to talk to their parents and say, oh, I can remember Dad. Okay. But when they got older, it was, taking away privileges like basketball. Remember sports? Can be a good training tool. And, oh, yeah, we had a Christian school there at Tri-City, and so sometimes it was the coaches, you know, saying, what are you doing hurting the team? I said, whoa. I'm not hurting the team. My son or sons or whichever one it might have been, and they all had their times, you know, that I said, they're hurting the team, so why don't you help me by you getting on their case just like I get on their case, and then they don't have to sit out of a game. We can all be happy. Now, may I caution you, don't ever take away from your children something you want them to be participating in. Don't say, well, you can't go to camp if you don't behave. I'm going to not let you go to youth department or whatever else. You know, because you want those positive influences in their life, and sports are take it or leave it. What are the things that you can rob them of and give a little pain? But can I tell you something? One of the things I think a lot of parents, especially in our Christian homes, forget to do is to praise their children when they do right. It's almost like we expect them always to do right. Can I remind you something? They're sinners. By the way, who else are sinners? Parents are sinners too. We all can do wrong, and so when they do right, we need to praise them. We need to thank them. We need to encourage them. We need to honor them. We need to help them to realize that we're going to punish the wrong and we're going to praise the right. That's what discipline is all about. That's what nurturing is all about. And it's a constant process that we should be involved in. But he also says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's the instruction. We discipline them. We also instruct them. We also instruct them. And can I take you back to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 for just a moment? Just turn back to that passage of Scripture again. Because I want you to see when you're instructing your children. when you're instructing your grandchildren, when you're instructing teenagers, period, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk about them when? When thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Let me ask you something. When are we supposed to be instructing our children? Thank you. You got it. All the time. In every situation. And the best way you can instruct them is by your example. How much do you love God? How much do you serve God? How much do you study God's word? How much do you tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ? How faithful are you in church? You know, sometimes we wonder why we're having a problem with the next generation, and the problem is the present generation. It's great to get them under formal teaching. Remember, I said get the assistance of other people, but ultimately it comes down to me, my wife, our family. And I can tell you something right now. If you've never apologized to your children, you have a problem. Now, why do I say that? Because we've all failed. But few others shake your head and tell me that I'm not the only one that has failed as a parent or even as a grandparent. I mean, that all of us have failed. And the best thing you can do in teaching your children is to let them know you failed and you're sorry and say, I'm sorry, I did wrong, will you forgive me, just like we expect out of our children. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. We have to, yes, not provoke them to wrath, but we need to bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Now, do you see the material? Of engineering. Of farming, of business, of education, okay, all those things are side notes. But we're supposed to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of what? Of the Lord. Of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We looked yesterday at the ultimate goal. Remember Sunday school just yesterday? One word. What's the ultimate goal for our children? What's the ultimate goal for all of us? What does God want for us? One word. Thank you. Christ likeness. Here it is again. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You say, well, where's all the other stuff come from? Well, turn to Luke 2:52. I hope some of you have seen this before, but if not, this is going to be very enlightening to you. Luke 2:52. Because there's four areas that we have to bring our children up in. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's Christ-likeness, but what areas have to be developed if they're going to be like Christ? Well, look at Luke 2:52. Are you all there? Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. Do you see those? I'm not just making these up, right? You see them. Can I put them in educational terms for you? Jesus increased mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. Now I use those terms because I want to just show you something that's just seems so amazing to me, because I went to a secular college to study education, math education at that. And I don't know if there's anybody else here that took educational psychology in a secular institution, but I did. It was before I was saved. And they taught me there's four areas that have to be developed in every person. Now, remember, they're not looking to the Bible. They're looking at a person and coming up with what they think those four areas are. Do you know what those four areas are? Check me out. You can get an EdSite book for yourself and you could check it out. You know what the four areas they say that need to be developed in every person? Mental, physical, social. Oh no, they don't say spiritual. Does anybody know what they say? I heard it. Emotional. I don't know who said it, but I heard it. Emotional. Because after all, everybody has to learn to deal with your emotions. Can I tell you something, friends? You'll never be able to deal with your emotions till Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Till you have the Holy Spirit residing within. Till you have a peace that passeth all understanding. You have a power that can overcome any situation where you can cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. That's why the spiritual area, they substitute for the spiritual area, the emotional area, because they don't want to accept God. It's kind of like what they were doing with the eclipse today, right? Mother Nature and the universe and all the... God! I just wanted to shout at the TV, God! God did all this. And it's amazing. It's miraculous how it's all done decently and in order. Because God created the heavens and the earth. Well, guess what? God created man too. And so when He created man, He said, you know, there's four areas that need to be developed. The mental, the physical, the spiritual, and the social. And can I just, I've written a whole curriculum of education from those four areas, you know, curriculum development, and worked on the Christian school curriculum with all those four areas, and you break them all down. But can I just emphasize the social area? You know they're all important, and obviously they're all, if we come to a one person, Jesus Christ, and we know we've got to be, we're spiritual beings, and you have to have that feel. But can I also tell you something? We need to learn how to impact this society for Jesus Christ. We don't have to be obnoxious. We don't have to, unclean, unclean, I can't interact with anybody. Take a track and put it on a rack and on a rock and throw it out there and hope somebody gets hit on the head with it and reads it. We can learn how to interact in our society and in our community and reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to be weird on purpose. We're weird enough just by living by the Word of God. And so we need to develop all four of these areas in our children and in our young people. So they'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they'll have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street, and I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had, but I've just got to be successful as my little fella's dad. It's the one thing that I dream of. It's the task I think of most, where if I fail my little fellas, what have I have to boast? All the fame and fortune I gather, all my future will be sad if I fail to be successful as my little fella's dad. No, I may never gather glory and I may never gather gold, and men might even call me a failure when my ministry life is told. But if they that follow after will be godly, then I'll be glad, because then I'll know I've been successful as my little fella's dad. Folks, it's got to be our passion to raise another generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got to do it God's way. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the clarity of your word, for the truth that's in it. Help us to live it. Lord, I know that none of us are perfect. I know that young people have a free will. But I know that you want another generation to live for you. You want another generation to proclaim your word to a lost world. And I pray that you'll help every one of us to commit our children anew and afresh tonight to the truth of your word, and that we would pray for them and try to be an example to them. And Lord, I pray you will bless our homes. I'm going to ask the piano to play number 553. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And the song is, and we're going to sing it in a moment, but it's, Lord, bless our homes. And I'm sure to congregation this size, there's some real heartache with children. I've talked to some of you about some of the things you're dealing with in your family. God is not finished with them. God can still do a work in their hearts and their lives. And those of you that have little ones in your homes, make it your number one priority to raise another generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, as the piano plays, pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Even now, as I have great grandchildren, I'm praying. Some of you have great grandchildren. Oh, Lord, bless our homes. Only God can work in hearts. We can't force our children to do right. We can't force our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We can't force anybody to do right. But I can sure pray that God will work in their hearts. And I can try to be the example that God wants me to be to them. Songwriter said, Lord, bless our homes. Name their names. Only God can do the work in hearts and lives that needs to be done. Father, I pray that you will hear the prayer of your people and that you will work in hearts and lives as only you can, and you will bless our homes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 553 in your hymnal. I want you to sing the first verse and chorus, and then I'll turn the service back to Pastor. I hope this is your prayer. I hope this is your desire. Everyone standing together as we sing. It's true. Families all around us are crumbling every day. Let's pray it won't be our families. Families all around us are crumbling every day, yielding to the enemy and throwing life away. Bind our lives together, guard us with your truth. When the trouble seems too great, Lord, keep our eyes on you. Lord, bless our home, protect our home. Let it be a refuge in this world of sin. Lord, reign within. Keep us strong and true. And when we need you most, Lord, you just bow your heads and close your eyes, and Michael will pray through that one more time. Pastor's here. Maybe you need to come and lay a child's name on the altar. Maybe you need Pastor to know something that he can help you with as far as in a counseling situation. And boy, none of us can train our children to be like Jesus Christ if we're not like Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here and you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, how we need Christian homes, godly homes, parents and grandparents and church members that are examples of what Christians ought to be. Oh, God, please bless our homes.